psst, it's an extra bonus little bit of bonus stuff. It's just me, James Shakeshaft here, but I've got a little sort of special guest for us here. Welcome to the bonus show, Miles Benson of Power Source Studios. Hello, Miles.
Hello, thank you. Thanks for having me on. I so appreciate this.
No worries. What's the story? Why are you here? How have you gotten on to a whole bonus episode?
that's a really good question. I learned about you guys probably about a year ago when I was researching a short film that I wanted to make about urban legends, and you guys were the first faces that popped up, you know, right there. And I was like,
were we on the back seat? It turned out. And that's what the gas station guy was warning you about, was us on your back seat.
Yeah, that's what it was.
Oh,
yeah.
So you're making a film about urban legends. Interesting.
Yeah. It's called Dream Clean. It's a horror comedy short film. And the goal of it is to, you know, make this really good short film that also acts as a proof of concept for a feature film to help, you know, sell the idea to investors. So, yeah.
Is there a way that people can have a little look at what's going on?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. We have a crowdfunding campaign that is, we're trying to get as much love for it as we possibly can. We've been trying to build an audience, you know.
I hope you appreciate the five people that will be listening to this.
I'm one of them, one of the five. So,
you know. so four other people. And I obviously also occasionally will do a quality pass. So yeah, there's three people and welcome. And to be honest, a lot of them admit to being asleep. So, oh well, but it's nice to hear from you. So, where can people find out about this? Is there an address on the internet?
Yes, on the interwebs for sure. It's igg.me/AT/DreamCleanFilm, all one word. And you can also find us on, you know, basically every single social media channel except for Twitter, at Dream Clean Film, all one word. And that's for all the social media stuff. But it's
I do think with the all one word thing, if you really wanted to torture someone, you would give them an email address, which the end of it would be the words, all one word. Anyway, that's my crowdfunder. I'm just going to set that up right now. And it is going to say all one word, all one word. Do you have any ins on Shark Tank?
Just torturing your audience. It's no wonder why you've got five listeners.
Yes. Yes.
So I just to kind of bring that back to a little bit of what it is. It's about these cleaning women who kind of reluctantly get tasked with having to stop creatures of folklore from rewriting history when a doorway to the realm of myth is opened in a house they clean for. So it's loosely inspired by my mom and my aunts who own a cleaning business. If anybody's inclined to hear a little bit more about it, they can go to the Indiegogo page. It's all listed on there. The whole idea of it is that I wanted there to be, I've always wanted to see like slasher films all team up. Like when Freddy versus Jason came out, even though that movie is awful, I thought it was amazing because you got to see these two characters team up with each other. And I thought, why couldn't we do that with like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster? And so I kind of thought that would be great, you know? We don't have the budget for the Loch Ness Monster, but
yeah, I've spoken to their agent a few times, very angry.
Then you got to go underwater. You're
and they do swear. They do swear. Can you tell us about the cryptids that do make the cut in Deep Clean? The less sweary ones, I'm guessing.
Sure. Yeah. Well, our two flagship characters that we're going for is Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great makeup artist. She's working diligently on, you know, making a Bigfoot that's going to look, you know, as terrifying as, better than Harry and the Hendersons, you know.
Wowzers. You know.
And then the other one that we're doing is the Headless Horseman as well.
Is that easier for the makeup person or way more difficult? Because on the one hand, you don't have to do any eyeliner.
That's true. Right. Exactly.
So yeah, you're from America, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's Massachusetts. Am I correct in thinking?
You got it pretty much right. Yeah.
I'm really nailing it. It's almost like we haven't emailed already. And is that Boston then? Is that where you're from?
Yeah. So I live about an hour outside of Boston in a town called Milford. And, but I've lived in and out of Boston, you know, at various different times in my life.
What are the sort of urban legends that we've got from around that area?
You know, it's Massachusetts is weird. Like New England in general has all these different.
There's a New England?
Oh, there's a New England. Did you hear about it? It's like it's like New Coke.
Oh, no one likes it.
Yeah. <it's, laughs> we're actually trying to get back to old England.
England classic.
Yeah, England classic. I have a story of something that happened to me.
Ooh.
And it ties into probably Massachusetts's most, that's a very weird thing to say, Massachusetts's.
I'm not even going to try because I'm pretty sure I couldn't.
It ties into a local, probably the most popular urban myth of Massachusetts. At least that's what usually pops up in terms of cryptids for sure. So
what's that then?
So I was probably about like 10 years old. There was across the street from my grandmother's house, there was this condo development where they were building all these houses. And
this is a really basic question. What's a condo? What is a condominium? I've guessed in my head number of times. Is it an apartment?
Pretty much.
So it's like a flat. Would a condominium ever be separate, or is it always attached to other condomini? I'm guessing that's the plural.
This one, so maybe it's not a condo because it was detached. So I think it was just houses. I think they were building houses is what, now that I'm
Now you've just sold me an American dream there, and now it's just a houses. Go on then.
Well, but then at the same time, if it's in a complex.
Is it like a sheltered accommodation? Yes.
It is.
Separate houses.
Except they all look exactly the same. And they're right, I guess, next to each other.
We would call that an estate. But an estate in England can range from an estate where like a lord would live. And then there's like a housing estate.
That's when you say house. Lord, what would that be?
Like landed gentry. Like a lord or lady.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
I guess it's like it's one up from a knight. I think they would have knight in the olden times. They would have had knights who did their stuff for them.
See, I'm never just picturing these very brave knights living in these very tiny condo complexes.
And that's the thing. The word estate can mean, to be honest, it can mean a type of car. You can get an estate car, which just means long.
So it's a limo.
No, it's just got a big boot. It's like what's that wood paneled car?
Oh, a station wagon?
A station wagon. Yes. Which, to be fair, is a confusing set of words.
It is. Yes.
For what is just a longer car.
I mean, to be fair, estate is very confusing to me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it means everything. It turns out it means most things in England, an estate. So anyway, sorry, I've derailed you massively. You're across from a building site.
Yes. And so as kids, we would go inside these building sites and just play around, hang out.
Absolutely. That is not an endorsement.
I wouldn't recommend this to your listeners, but this was the early 90s. So I think
health and safety was a dream.
So I left one of these houses and my friends were still inside playing with rusty nails or something like that. Hopefully it wasn't rusty because they were just being built. But I go outside and I turn the corner and I come face to face with this creature, and it looked just like a monkey. But it was strange because it had these long elongated fingers with these little claws at the end of the fingertips, and it had glowing eyes. And what? Yeah, but it didn't have a tail, but it had like kind of, I couldn't really tell because it was moving too fast.
Right.
The thing is, James, one of the things I need to tell you about myself is I don't want to disillusion anybody in the audience. I'm not someone who typically believes in the paranormal or the supernatural. So having said that, I do believe what happened to me this day. And this is the only weird cryptid-like thing that's ever happened to me that I just cannot explain.
So this is some sort of ape. Ape is the one without a tail, isn't it? Monkey usually has a tail.
I couldn't tell if it had a tail. It almost looked like it could have had a nub, but I didn't know if it had wrapped its tail.
Yeah, you don't know. I'm imagining you'd be distracted by the big claws.
it kind of like bounced around for a little bit, I think just from being spooked from seeing me. And then it just scurried up this house that was being developed and this condo and got to the roof. And that was the last I ever saw of it. However, the reason why I'm bringing this up is I wanted to talk about, as I was, you know, because I knew I was coming on the show and I knew we were going to be talking about urban legends, and I had to represent my state and, you know, my country and everything like that. And, you know, I knew that I could talk about like the typical ones, you know, like UFO sightings or ghosts or something. But there was one that captured my imagination because it was so closely related to what happened to me. And that was the devil monkey from Danville, New Hampshire.
The devil monkey from Danville. Mm-hmm. Knew it. There's a New Hampshire. Dan the devil monkey. What? No, the devil monkey of Danville. Right. Okay. Right.
So this was back in August 21st of 2001. And the fire chief of Danville, David Kimball, he had this creature had jumped out into the road in front of his truck, and then it jumped into the woods. And so Kimball was stunned by what he saw. And he saw what was looked to be like a large monkey, you know, just hopping across the road. And he had he said in the local newspaper, that's nothing that's native to here. That was his quote, which is just small town news if I ever heard it. So
yeah,
I think the most charming part about the next part of the story that I wanted to talk about was that it even mentions this in the, you know, the newspaper that he talked to get a sort of quote. Kimball went to the town librarian to determine what type of monkey he saw. I had this like very visual, you know, picture in my head about what the fire chief was doing. Did he talk to the librarian about this monkey that I saw? And then I just picture him bringing out all of these comically large books about monkeys to a table and spreading them out like a detective trying to determine what he saw that day, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he had determined that the monkey that he had saw was a monkey called the Humboldt's woolly monkey, I think is what it was called.
Oh yeah.
And so
the Humboldt's or the Humble.
The Humble. Yeah.
The Humble so woolly monkey.
And, you know, so that's what, and, you know, if you go and look at anybody who's, you know, if you're driving, please don't look this up. But if you're at home, please look up a picture of this monkey, because this, when I saw a photo of this monkey that, you know, after doing some research about, you know, what we were going to talk about today, I had determined like that looked dangerously close to the monkey that I saw 30 some odd years
really?
Ago. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How far is Danville from your nan's?
What's interesting about that is that it's far. So it's about an hour away from my grandmother's house. But
an hour away by monkey or by car? By monkey car?
By monkey car, really.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it could have been thumbing a lift. That's the thing about a monkey. That's what separates us, the apes, from the other animals, is our opposable thumbs give us the ability to hitchhike.
That's how they're going to take over in Planet of the Apes, I heard.
Yeah. Just like thumbs up, liking everything. And we'll think, oh, they don't seem like a threat. And then, no, they're going to, I don't know what they're going to do with them thumbs, and I would not like to guess.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't have opposable thumbs.
You're going to oppose these opposable thumbs? They certainly are opposable.
So I mean, people had seen this monkey, you know, at various different times, you know, over the course of August and September of, you know, 2001,
with a little bindle on a stick.
One of the best stories from this that I heard, though, is that, you know, because there's all these stories about like, oh, you know, I heard screeching from the woods, or it bounced in front of my car, or, you know, something like that. But
that's a very poetic way of saying I hit it with a car. It bounced in front of my car and then just sort of led there. Anyway, it's horrible. That's horrible.
People have seen it here and there, heard it. But, you know, again, in the slow news in Danville, there was this local boy who told his mom that the peanut butter cookies that he left in his treehouse had disappeared.
Oh.
And so this sparked, you know, this peanut butter cookie thing apparently was the thing that like ignited the flame. Like, we got to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
This peanut butter cookie thing.
This fine enough to be causing noise pollution and freaking out fire department chiefs, but they can't take our cookies.
A peanut butter cookie is worth fighting for.
A PBC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's endlessly fascinating about this, though, is that the immediately following the part in this newspaper article about the peanut butter cookies is they use the word mobilized.
And oh, God.
You'll come to, like, I want you to, and you and your listeners to just imagine and remember the movie Jaws and what they all did to try to take down the shark and capture it and, you know, get vengeance on the little boy that died. There's a lot of similarities, except the monkey did not.
Well, the little boy is some cookies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. That's right.
And was the mayor like, we've got to keep this treehouse open. It's the 4th of July weekend. I'm going to put loads of more cookies in here. And then, yeah, 4th of July weekend comes along. No cookies. You ever seen a chocolate chip and a peanut butter cookie? Black, like a doll's eyes. Like a doll's chocolate chip.
So the town really did they came out in droves, apparently, according to them. And Danville residents had these are the efforts that they had taken to try to get this monkey, right? And it was strung up bananas and oranges to lure the monkey into the open.
Clever. It's like a fruity wind chime.
It's not even musical.
No,
it's
but they just love it.
there were hunters with trank darts stood by at the ready, and in the infinite wisdom of the Danville residents, a local DJ even dressed up like a gorilla to entice them.
Oh, right, okay. In order to be like, hey, we're fine, we're cool, look, there's a monkey that plays music for us, we're, you know, you should join us. And then did the DJ get shot by accident with the trank dart at any point? Did they accidentally capture the DJ and didn't believe that it was a person and they're trapped? No.
This made national media attention, which was pretty crazy. And I guess the animal control officer was scheduled to appear on the Today Show, actually. And but then
they realized it was ridiculous.
I mean, kind of, and compared to, I guess, September 11th happened immediately that same weekend that they were scheduled to show up. And then, of course, you know, I don't think they're going to choose the monkey over, the awful atrocities.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I can see how they might get bumped for that. Oh, wow. This monkey is at large.
So they did say 11 years later, there was one more account of from Michelle and Dino saw a strange animal at her parents' backyard. And she says that it was the devil monkey of Danville.
Nice one, Michelle.
Maybe it was the DJ.
Maybe it was the DJ. Yeah. So wait a minute. When were you viewing this monkey? Was you were saying the early 90s?
Yes. So, and this brings me to my second point, and actually how it ties into the larger cryptid from Massachusetts, is that the devil monkey was from 2001. Mm. My monkey was from like early 90s. And then now something that is about like a 20-minute drive from where I live is a town called Dover. And Dover is another small town. And the big cryptid from Massachusetts that I think everybody pretty much knows is the Dover Demon.
The Dover Demon?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't say I've ever heard of it.
I don't know why it's so popular, because it only had a small stint of encounters in 1977. But
did it have a radio show?
I think that's what his name was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you asking, by the way, are you asking all these questions because you need a gorilla costume and just trying to find
out? I'm just saying if I do need to invest in one. Yeah.
So the Dover Demon, the way that they describe this creature is it's gray and white with large glowing eyes, unnaturally long, tendril-like fingers, walks on 2 feet, but prefers to scuttle on all fours, you know, things don't like that. All. And that's about 20 minutes from where I saw my monk. So I'm thinking that if there's any truth to the Dover Demon, it's got to be what I saw. Unless it's just a monkey. I don't know.
A monkey that was into building sites. It was an enthusiast.
Yeah. Into condos. Trying to also understand what condos were.
Yes. Did feel an affinity. Or it could be the evolution of demon from like the scuttly one to a sort of mid-size one, and then you've got your one that's, you know, managing to hold down a successful mobile disco business. That is fantastic. Mm. That's a fantastic set of stories. Thank you very much, Miles. And yeah, what was the address people can check out your stuff then, please?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, if you go again, if you could just go to Indiegogo and type in Dream Clean, I'm sure you'll find it, but I'll give the address just in case. It's igg.me/AT/DreamCleanFilm, all one word. And now I'm a little weirded out by what you had said about your torturing people earlier about all one word.
Yeah. That's not part of the address. They are just, there is just no gaps.
Yes. No gaps. Yeah. Well, yeah, James, thank you. This was a lot of fun. It was an honor to actually be a part of this. And, you know, I've been listening to you guys for a little bit, and strangely, I used your podcast as a inspiration to try to get this thing going. So, if I can, you know, return the favor in some way, I'd like to do that. And
I'm guessing there's a DJ role at the very least. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Miles. Cheers. Thanks for coming along.